we bring to a conclusion Easter Sunday. It's taken us a week to get here. The church moves very slowly. It's taken us a whole week to complete one day. And of course, you probably know this, maybe you've heard it from me or somebody else, that from the Jewish tradition, which our Catholic faith fulfills, the Old Testament is, or the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old is revealed and fulfilled in the New. Well, the Jewish faith was the faith that God established in the Old Testament, and the fulfillment now is in His universal church, Katholika in the Latin, or in the Greek, universal, that one church that He established for all of His people. And it's this church that He gives the power to forgive sins. And in a special way, on this Divine Mercy Sunday, I'll share with you a quick little anecdote from G.K. Chesterton, who was a convert to the Catholic faith. And he was asked, "Why did you become Catholic?" And he said, "To have my sins forgiven." Why? Because he knew this reading from John 20. And Jesus pulls out all the stops at this high point of our faith. In the Roman Missal, which will be on the altar in just a few minutes, at the head of each page where the prayers for the Mass are for each given day, it has a title. It says Tuesday, second Sunday of ordinary time, or whatever. Well, today's it says the second Sunday of Easter. And then in parentheses it says, "Or Divine Mercy Sunday." Now the word "or" can be taken one of two ways. The word "or" can be taken in terms of choice. It's either this or that. Do you want pancakes or eggs? And my answer is both and. I'm Catholic. I'll eat it all. But it's this or that. And that's normally how we take it. But the word "or" can also be taken in terms of equivocation. You go out to the parking lot, and you see cars or automobiles. It's one and the same. And so this, in the Roman Missal where it says the second Sunday of Easter or Divine Mercy, it's taken in the second sense. And I believe it's in the Greek that it is, that difference is actually noticeable. In other words, what it says is the second Sunday of Easter, namely Divine Mercy. Or, in other words, Divine Mercy Sunday. In other words, for us priests, it's not an option. We've got to put God's mercy out in spades. We've got to put it out there for the whole world to come and benefit from. Why? Because this is the high point of the high point. In John chapter 7, Jesus Himself says, on the eighth and greatest day of the feast, and I believe, and I go back and look since last night, I believe it is the Feast of Tabernacles, but from the Jewish tradition, there were a number of their great celebrations, the biggest feasts, that were not celebrated in one day. It took 8 days. And in each one of them, the feast grew as it progressed along those 8 days and then hit its pinnacle. Now, am I saying that Divine Mercy Sunday is more important than Easter? No, I'm not saying that. Am I saying it is greater than Easter? Yes. In this sense, that when a gift is given, there are two modes of operation for the gift to be completed. The first mode is the giver to the gifted. They give us a gift. The second mode is acceptance and putting it into its operation. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about two modes of perfection. On Easter Sunday, Jesus gave us the gift what's the gift? The opening of the gates of heaven, because when Adam and Eve sinned, those gates were closed. When they're booted out, if you will, of the Garden of Eden, that was God giving us the image of what had happened. They and all of their offspring were cast out, but not forever. Genesis 3:15, God promises a Savior. And when that Savior comes, he begins this mission to what? Unlock the gates. He does it with his death and his resurrection, Easter. But now the second mode of operation. The gift is given. Now we have to accept it. How do we accept it? The only way you and I get to heaven is through God's divine mercy. That's what this picture is all about. That's why it's here. The only way we get to heaven is through God's divine mercy. And so, on Divine Mercy Sunday, the eighth and greatest day of the Feast of Easter, we're in this octave, the greatness builds. The gift offered, and now, if we choose to accept it, by going to God's divine mercy, having our sins forgiven. But it's not just the forgiveness of sins. Not only is it the forgiveness of sins, it's also the elimination of all temporal punishment due to sin. When you and I sin against someone, there is always justice that is robbed, if you will, stolen. Because sin, by definition, evil, is the privation of a good that is due. That's justice. When we go to confession, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. We're reconnected to God. And if we die in a state of forgiveness, then we will go to heaven. But every sin requires us, the sinner, to reestablish the justice that was deprived. We have to repair that sin somehow. How do we do it? Prayer. Offering our sufferings, joining them to the cross of Christ and say, Lord, and it's this simple, Jesus, I offer my sufferings right now to yours. I join them to yours in reparation for my sins. But I don't know about you, but I know about me. I am not going to accomplish that mission in this life. There's just not enough time. I've got too much stuff from the past. Am I forgiven? Yes, I'm forgiven. But I'm not going to be able to repair everything. And that's why God gives us purgatory. The book of Revelation says nothing unclean can enter heaven. Nothing imperfect. And so when we have unrepaired justice, if we die in a state of grace, that's got to be taken care of, and that's what purgatory is about. But there are three opportunities for us to have our sins forgiven and all that justice restored. One is that baptism. Let's say some mafia boss is not baptized, which would be uncommon because it'd be uncommon. I'll just leave it there. I can get myself in trouble real fast. True story. A priest was summoned to a mafia Bob's mansion, mafia boss's mansion. He claimed he had not been baptized. The priest was a little incredulous, but okay. So we went through the requisite steps. The man was on his deathbed, so there wasn't like an RCIA program. And he baptized them, and he conditionally baptized him. And he said, do you know that now, if you don't commit another sin, you're going straight to heaven? And that mob boss said, I've committed everyone in the book. He said, it's that easy? It's that simple? And the priest said, yeah, that's the depth of God's mercy. And that mob boss said, it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't. It seems like it's just not fair. It's just not fair that somebody like that could go straight to heaven. The problem is, if we say that, and I got this from Vinnie Flynn, I love his puns. The problem is, if we say it's just not fair, he said, in terms of God's mercy, we put the emphasis in the wrong place. It's just not fair. No, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. You see, and so Jesus, the Trinity actually, gives us an opportunity in baptism. Now, I look out, we're probably all baptized here. You think, well, tough luck for me. No. There's another opportunity, and that's through a plenary indulgence. But there are a number of conditions that need to be met. I'm not going to go into them. One of them is complete and total detachment from sin. Meaning, there are sins that I kind of want. I can't meet that. I can't get a plenary indulgence because I still drive a car. I still drive a car. It means I get, yeah. I'm not the most patient driver. So in a small town, I've had to really. But now there's a third way. That's through divine mercy. And here's the deal. And yes, it's as simple. Not in a diminutive way, meaning it doesn't matter. It means it matters so much. God makes it this easy for us because he wants us in heaven even more than we want it for ourselves or the ones we love. And it's this. That if we receive our Lord in Holy Communion in a state of sanctifying grace, meaning I have no unconfessed grave sin on my soul, and I receive Holy Communion on this day, and I go to confession 20 days prior to today to 20 days after, we got a 40-day window. If we die without committing another sin, we're like that mob boss, straight to heaven. And the ease of it, again, let me stress, it is not because this is meaningless. It's because it's so meaningful that God makes it that easy. But that's not the whole of it. That's not the end of it. Every gift that we receive, every single one, from our time, our talent, our treasure, our family, our whatever, the goods that we have, everything is given to us with one intention, that it be given away. But again, we can't give what we don't have. I think I quipped here a while back. I intended to give you all a check for $1 million today. Aren't you disappointed you didn't get it? Yeah. Well, I can't because I don't have the money. I wasn't gifted with it. I can't gift you with it. Same thing with mercy. If I haven't received it, I can't give it. Now, look at our world around us today. What percentage of people do you think are really aware of the beautiful gift God wants to give them in mercy? Fewer and fewer. And it's evident because we're a much less merciful society, world. What the world needs now, remember that song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, the Dionne Warwick. What the world needs now is love, and its second name, mercy, sweet mercy. So now when we receive God's mercy, we are called to live it, to live mercy, to receive mercy and be merciful. That's not simply saying I forgive you. It means to have compassion for somebody in their difficulty. It means to try to empathize with somebody when they're down, when they do things we just don't understand. Whatever the case is, that's what we're called to do, to live a life of mercy, to share the gift. So the gates are open. And now we've had the opportunity to walk through. Now that we've walked through, to go glorify the Lord by your life, spread the message of divine mercy.